Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's the fight in. It's the fight in. Cock. It's the fight in. It's the fight in. Cock.
Oh, that was really interesting, mate. Yeah.
Welcome, listeners, to the Extra Inch. It's part two of our youth football special. I'm your host, Windy, and I'm joined for the second part with our two academy experts again. I've got Carl. Carl, as I see it. Hello, Carl. How are you doing?
Hi, guys.
And I've got Kai Barrett, West Ham United youth aficionado. Hello, Kai.
Hello, mate.
And once again, as you may have heard in our previous episodes, we've got a sponsor, which is OneFootball. It's a football app. It's available in the App Store and Google Play. And they've currently got an article in there about Kyle Walker-Peters. Amazing timing. The article's about how he might be needed to cover Danny Rose. And he says in this article, "If the manager at Tottenham needs me to play on the left, then I'm ready to do a good job. The gaffer knows what he's doing. I've faith in what he has planned for me. And when he gives me opportunities, I have to continue to take them." And I think this is as good a place to start as any. Kyle Walker-Peters has got faith in Pochettino and what he's got planned for him. Do you have faith in what Pochettino has got planned for Walker-Peters?
If I'm being honest, I don't really. I think I've heard all the criticism about you don't see them in training and you're not a professional scout. I get all that. I 100% understand it, but just watching him play from so young, I can't understand why he couldn't have. 2 years ago, he could have been getting like half an hour in the League Cup or even minutes in the Premier League, more than he should have got. And it's just frustrating to see he's such a talented young player and then you buy someone like Aurier just to block his path. It just feels like I said, if you look at other countries, I just feel like if they had someone who they believed was good enough to be playing first in football, they would not buy another player to block their path. They would actually give them that opportunity to play. And it just feels like in this country, there's just such a lack of trust. And I just think he's suffered as a result. He's essentially waiting like this for injury to one or two right backs, or even a left back now, just to get some sort of chances. And he's going to play in his weaker position. It's probably going to affect him initially, his introduction. And it just doesn't make sense to me. It just doesn't make sense. If you believe he's good enough to put on the bench, and you believe he's good enough to give extensions, why not just trust him and play him more in games?
We had a question from Ricky from the Fighting Cock, who said that I had previously mentioned that Walker-Peters is a better dribbler and better going forward than some of our other right backs. And Ricky said, why is he not being given an opportunity with the first team? And there was a follow-up on that from Brian Daly, who said he must have some flaws, for Christ's sake. There's no way Pochettino doesn't play him if he's this good. And I think, you know, that there's some logic to that in a sense, that there must be something holding Pochettino back. I can only think that that's a mental thing, potentially. And Walker-Peters himself has come out and said that, you know, a couple of years ago, he didn't have the confidence to give senior players a rocket if they did something wrong, and he wouldn't have spoken out. And as he trains with the first team and becomes more comfortable, he's more comfortable speaking up. But my own view is that when you put a player into a match situation, they have to learn to speak up quickly. And because he hasn't been in that situation, he's probably learned more slowly through training and whatnot.
Best developments on the field, isn't it?
Well, yeah, quite right. Yeah, exactly. Kai, have you seen much of Walker-Peters?
I have, and I have to say I'm quite a big fan of him. And I think he's a much better player when he's on the right. And it sort of frustrates me, especially internationally, to see him play on the left. And some people might say, well, it's not much of that much of a difference. But I think he gets the best out of him on the right. And obviously, Kieran Trippier, he had an excellent World Cup and he's a good player in his own right. But what I don't get is that Pochettino decides to play players who aren't a right back in that position rather than giving Walker-Peters a go. So I think with the point about if he's that good, surely he would have been either gone out on loan. I think as Pochettino's sort of ideology, he likes to keep the best players with the first team squad. So you could look at it that way. And in terms of right back, right back positions. I don't know what's best, what would be best for Kyle, whether he would be better off leaving and going elsewhere, because I think he would do well at, say, like a Premier League club such as Huddersfield, like, and then sort of working his way up. But a player who I'm a fan of, Tariq Hines, he's a very good right back. I'm not saying right now he's as ready as Kyle Walker-Peters, but hopefully if that opportunity comes, I think he'd be more than capable of taking it.
So Hines is our under 18, under 23 right back, who I guess is the next one in line behind Walker-Peters. I think Hines is 18, so he's got a way yet before he'll be considered at the same level as Walker-Peters, who's now 21, but a very, very good player in his own right.
Can I just say, quickly,
of course you can, mate.
Is there, when people say he must have some flaws, and I just think people have so much faith and believe in Premier League managers that they think the only reason they can't be playing them is if they're not good enough. And if you look at something like a club like Chelsea, who've won something like 6 out of the last 7 FA Youth Cups and 3 UEFA Champions Leagues, and people genuinely don't believe that they don't have anyone good enough for their first team just because a manager hasn't played them. Like, this, I just think there's so many more factors in play that affect a manager's decision rather than if they're good enough. For example, like we discussed in the previous point, like the price tag. I don't think it's not a case of just, are they good enough? I just think it's not that simple. And I think these are just one of many reasons that just stop academy players coming through.
I think you're so right. And they don't just have to be as good as the signing or whoever they're up against, but they have to almost go over and above what that player's doing in training.
You're expecting
another pitch.
You're expecting an academy player who has no experience to perform above and beyond an international right back that you just bought. And that's such a ridiculous concept, but yet he's still got 2 man of the matches in his only 2 Premier League starts and is still behind that same international right back. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, you're not going to get many arguments from there, mate. Interestingly, in the first podcast, Kai mentioned that he feels that, or he mentioned that Pochettino's brought a lot of young players through and has done a good job generally in giving loans and in giving debuts. I think it's worth mentioning that since Pochettino was Spurs' manager, he's given debuts to Josh Onuma, Harry Winks, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Marcus Edwards, Anton Walkes, Shane Harrison, Philippe Lesniak, Kyle Walker-Peters, Kaziah Sterling, Tashan Oakley-Booth, Luke Amos and Anthony Georgiou. That's an impressive list. He's done well in 4 years to give that number of players debuts. However, there's a big but. Lots of those players have left. Lots of them have had, let's say, fewer than 200 minutes at first team level. And the only one, really, who's kicked on and become a first team regular from that group is Harry Winks. What's going on there, Carl? What are the problems in terms of the lack of opportunities? Why haven't we seen players more? Why doesn't Pochettino use youth players in the League Cup? What do you think the issues are?
Just for the record, I don't think, while it sounds like an incredibly impressive list, I don't think he's doing anything different to any other manager in any other Premier League club. In the sense, like, if you could look at Man United, Arsenal, Man City, Chelsea, and probably just look at the list of debuts they've had in the 4-5 years since Pochettino's been here, you could probably reel off a similar list of young players making their debuts. So it looks good, but ultimately it is meaningless if, like I said, if they're not going to be given more chances. So you've got Reece Nelson, Nketiah, Smith Rowe, and all these players at Arsenal also getting chances, but yet there's this belief that we're doing something so much better than every other person. So I don't know what the big issue is in general. What was the question, firstly?
so what's going wrong? What's stopping Pochettino giving these chances?
I just think, like I mentioned in the previous thing when discussing Walker-Peters, I just think it's a case of just distrust. It's a distrust of youth. And I don't want to get onto Pochettino specifically, because I think it's a Premier League thing. It's they fearful that the youth aren't going to do or are going to make massive errors or massive mistakes. And I just think it's unfounded. I can't remember ever a young academy player being given a chance and absolutely ballsing it up. Like, you think when Benfica got brought through at 19, straight from the academy, no loans, and he was like a duck to water. And obviously they're going to go through some blips and eventually tired out of it. But I can't remember once academy players screwing up to the point where you think, oh, we should never take that risk again. And I think a lot of these guys are only getting chances due to injuries, and they're still performing well. I just think, I think a massive issue is the distrust, lack of experience. People need to see them playing against adults, all that kind of jazz. But I just think it's a complete lack of trust from managers that they just don't think they can do the job because they fear this the element of risk that they bring, an element of the unknown. And like you say, when you've got the option in the Premier League where you can just drop 25 million and get an average player from another league, and the comment is, they just think, it's actually sad that you can spend 25 million and it just seems less of a risk, even though it's on an average player in this day and age. So I just think that's where it is.
It's a mindset thing. I mean, to play devil's advocate, people would say, you know, we're competing for Champions League places, we're competing for the league. Unless players are absolutely exceptional, we can't give up a squad place to a hopeful young player who may or may not be good enough. That's the argument that people make.
I
think you make a good rebuttal of that, that actually, why is a young player any more of a risk than a player bought from abroad who's got no experience of playing English football?
Yeah, and I don't really disagree with that. My issue is signing players is excellent. I wanted us to sign Lucas Moura. It's just, I don't understand why you take a punt on someone who's not very well known and put all that money into them when you could just give a couple of opportunities here and there, the League Cup, we're 4-0 up, give them on 15 minutes. But we don't even do that. I mean, we can be 4-5-0 up, we don't even give them little chances to maybe see by the end of the season, has this guy adapted? Do we need to spend whatever in the summer transfer window, or can we maybe trust this person? The issue is these players aren't even getting those opportunities to maybe prove that they could be a squad player. You get what I mean? There's just nothing for them.
That's been my frustration, certainly over the last couple of years, and certainly with Walker Peters, who I felt could have had minutes here and there, and then by now he might have been integrated further, or we might be able to trust him to be a full, you know, rotation option. Mm. Maybe he'd be first choice by now. But interestingly, John McDermott is meant to be part of that recruitment panel, and Pochettino is meant to be liaising with McDermott to say, okay, well, we want to sign X player. Have we got a youth player that can compete with him at that level now? Do we need to spend £15 million on a hopeful winger, or have we got a youth player that can step in? And I don't know if McDermott's not fighting the corner of the youth players fully. I can't imagine that to be the case, but you know, certainly we haven't taken chances with youth players where we have happily spent money on players who've been unproven. I'm interested in the West Ham perspective. Kai, you follow West Ham.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Declan Rice in the first team. Are there other players desperate to have opportunities that aren't getting those chances? Or, I mean, how does the situation compare with Spurs' situation?
Well, like I said, I'm going to go link back into the point I made in part one. Loan system is not being used that well, and a player I think has sort of Moses Mekassi, defensive midfielder, I believe that he should have had more of a chance. The best chance he got was in pre-season last season, and I don't know why Bilic played the defensive midfielder on the wing. And obviously I suppose you can't really, you've got to give it to them. That's the first time they've seen him play out of position. They're obviously not a fan. Recently, Grady Diangana is a player who I've loved. And when I started my site and the Twitter account, he was a first year scholar in 2014. And he's a player who's he's like a joy to watch. He can play left wing, attacking midfielder, right wing. And finally, the other week, he got his debut, scored twice against Macclesfield, which, you know, it's nothing really, but, you know, when he made his Premier League debut against Manchester United. So that was the main thing. And then it all came crashing back down to earth when he weren't in the squad against the Brighton game, which we lost, coincidentally. But yeah, there's a few players coming through right now as well. Obviously those two, Marcus Brown is one. He's doing well on loan at Oxford. And who else? I'm going to say Adji Elis, centre-back. He's very good. England under-18s as well. And
can I just say?
Yeah.
And this isn't actually to put West Ham down, but I think the clubs lower in the Premier League, I think are even more guilty of not giving chances to young players.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I can kind of buy, like, when we were given loads of youngsters chances, when we had, when it was like, we got Kane through, we got Mason through, and Townsend and Corker, we weren't a Champions League team at that time. And now we can somewhat make the excuse that because we're competing in Champions League, we can't afford to bring these players in, or they're not better than what we have, even though I think in some of the cases that's not true. But I get equally as frustrated that the club's low in the league, where then they haven't got that excuse, so to speak, are still not doing their job.
I agree.
You know what I mean? I find that so frustrating.
I'm gonna sort of link again back to EPP. Some of you guys who are listening may not be aware. My local team is Huddersfield Town, and they have revamped their academy massively. They've got rid of all schoolboy levels. They're dropped down to category 3. They've got an under 17 team playing in the under 18 league, an under 19 team playing friendlies, and sort of elite development squads as the next stage. And they're obviously lower down in the league, and they've sort of scrapped their whole academy. But there's when you look at the players who have left the schoolboys, there's been quite a few that have gone to Manchester United. There's been some going to a lot of category 1 clubs, put it that way. And it's all about, you sort of got to be patient, because that's the thing. Imagine they kept those players, they would have paid off, but they've lost them all to Manchester United and all that lot. And
didn't they have like a Portuguese or Brazilian kid there?
Danilson from...
Yeah, something like that.
Danilson, he was at Watford. He was at Arsenal before going to Watford, and he was up there and he's left at the end of the season. And I thought, you know, he was good. That's a player they could have given a chance to. And obviously...
But even like West Brom, who have an excellent academy. Like Jonathan Lecco, and they've got Tyler Roberts, all these quality young players.
West Brom, that's another team. And look at
them. And you think that... Yeah, they are top quality academy.
Rakim
and
Rapper.
They're very relatively low in the league. And you think you have so many players that you could have brought through, and you're just spending money on average players.
I have to say...
So many failed opportunities here for clubs to give opportunities to young players who have excelled at youth level for their country.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
We've got a question from Ollie Whitefoot, who said, is the ethos now for Spurs more geared towards producing saleable assets rather than potential first teamers? And I would argue in a way that the ethos, whether they're there to sell or to become first teamers, it's the same thing essentially, because they have to have opportunity to gain some value in the first place. So if we do want to bring players through to sell them, they have to be seen, they have to be in the shop window, they have to play. We need to give them minutes to get them to a point where they become a saleable asset. And that's what happened with Kulka. You know, Kulka wasn't quite at the level required for our first team at the point that he was playing. Absolutely fair enough. We sold him on for a big profit. Same with Livermore, and ultimately the same with Ryan Mason, who's a player I love for many years. The difference between those players and players we've got currently in our academy who probably won't be good enough is they got the chances. They played in the cups. They built up. There was faith in them.
They had loans.
They could play as squad players. And that's the alternative. The alternative is to give them loans. So let's talk about that. We had a question from Daniel Platt, who said, does Onuma look like he's finally found his loan, or what do you think? So Onuma has had a couple of loans now. He started off at Villa. He's now gone to Sheffield Wednesday. He's playing really well for Sheffield Wednesday. And it'll bring, if this continues, if this form continues for Sheffield Wednesday, people will start talking about Onuma in the right way again. So my question is, why wasn't Onuma given a loan 2 years ago that would have been suited to him, where he'd have played central midfield week in, week out, and then who knows what would have happened a year later? What is it, Carl, that's stopping us loaning out these young players and giving them the opportunities?
Well, my understanding was, 2 years ago maybe? My understanding was I'd heard that Poch wanted to keep the players close by, and he wanted them to learn a certain brand of football and basically didn't trust coaching at other clubs. So those who he rated as really special, or those with potential first habits, he didn't want them being out of the club where they might pick up bad habits. So that's my understanding of why you never saw Winks going on, you never saw Onuma going on, you never saw Edwards going on. I believe now he's essentially changed his opinion and realised if they're not going to get a chance with him, it's pointless just staying around and just learning off first teamers, because it doesn't mean anything unless you're getting game time. So I think now he's realised that benefit and he's decided to send him on loan. But I think for someone like Onuma, I don't want to say it's too late, because I still have hope that he will get a proper chance to central midfield. And if he kills his loan, it could well happen. But I feel it was missed opportunity not sending him on loan 2 years ago, so to speak. I think he featured in our first when he was 17, and he played in central midfield against Monaco when he beat them 4-1. They had Bakayoko and Moutinho, and it was the only game I remember him ever playing in central midfield for us. And he never got an opportunity there again. And you think, just send him on loan then, he would have hopefully continued his upward trajectory, but he just seems to have stagnated. And this is the worry for like Walker Peters, that why he's just being kept around as insurance in case the fullbacks get injured and he's not actually developing. I think he should have been on loan at least a year or two ago as well.
On the plus side, the change in policy has meant that Marcus Edwards has gone out this year to Excelsior, and he's playing games in the Eredivisie, which is fantastic. He's doing great. He's had a couple of quiet games, but on the whole, he's really well-rated by Eredivisie fans. And also, Sam Shashua is playing in Spain for Atletico Baleares, and he's absolutely killing it. And that's fantastic to see. I'm sure he's learning far more in those matches than he would be in our under-23s.
Also, so I think
that's a good thing.
I think playing at any level is better than just playing under-23 football. I mean, I know people probably might have turned their nose up initially at the loan Shashua got, because it's like second or third tier in Spain or whatever it was. But that, the experience I think he'll get from there is way better than anything he would have got from under-23 football anyway. Just playing with men. So I think they're brilliant loans at the end of the day.
Yeah. I just want to add, in regards to Onuma, I think, this might sound controversial, if he had a better chance going out on loan, he would be a much, much better central midfielder than Harry Winks.
Interesting. What makes you say that? It's
nothing against Winks in particular. I think he's sort of, he's a bit limited, I think. I mean, he's doing well for himself. He's doing well. He's in the England team and he's playing regular games for you lot. But I think Onuma offers so much more, and he's got more of a skill set in general. And like Carl said, he was unlucky to not go out on loan. It sort of is a bit too late. And like, he's 20, 21? Same.
Yeah, not far off.
Same group as Kyle Walker-Peters, weren't they? Those two. Or were they one off? And I think if he would have had these loans earlier, he'd be playing Premier League football, maybe, who knows, in the England team. And I also want, on the point of England, I don't think that he will be with England internationally. I think Nigeria will come in for him, and that could be a big bonus for them, because he's a player who I quite like.
Interesting. I think Spurs fans have long criticised Chelsea for not giving players opportunity. And we look at Loftus-Cheek and we say, you know, you've got a player there wasting away. His quality, when he plays for England, he looks great and you're not using him. You know, Loftus-Cheek is, what, 24 now? 23, 24? Onuma turns 22 in April. We're probably going to be in the same boat, where we've got a player who's played consistently for every England youth age group. He's in the England under-21 squad now. He's playing occasional games for them. Him and Tom Davis kind of rotate. We're no different to Chelsea in so many ways, in my opinion. Let's talk a little bit about Spurs' current academy prospects, because I'm sure people would want to know some of the key names and some of the hopes we have for those young players. So we have a question from Sean Gormley, who's Irish, I suspect, because he says, where does Troy Parrott rank in terms of how highly you rate Spurs youth team players? He's rated incredibly highly in Ireland. So Carl, you've seen a bit of Parrott. What do you make of him so far?
When I first saw Parrott, let's not jump on this too much, but he kind of reminded me of like a Berbatov, like Ibrahimovic, in terms of his style and his presence. Like I said, he's not obviously at that level yet, but in the way he carries himself around the field, and he's got got a couple of flicks and got a couple of tricks. He's a good little finisher. Hold up is a focal point to the attack. I think he started off so well when he's playing under-23 football, because there have been little expectation of that aspect, and he held his own so well in under-23 football. Just a few under-18s games I saw, he's not very badly at all. I think he maybe had a couple under-par performances and missed a couple chances. But overall, you can tell he's a quality player. I think, and sorry to say this, Kai, that the finish against West Ham, he dinked over the keeper, just showed his range. And
I don't remember that game.
he has clear quality in him, and so I'm very hopeful of him. But I think, as we discussed in the previous pod, I think when someone comes in, they're signed, and someone from another club, there's a lot of expectation, a lot of hype initially. So I think with him, I think it's just let him play his football for now and see how he gets on. But there's no doubt he's a quality player, no doubt at all.
Nice. And we also had a question from Richard Joyce, who says, how highly do you rate Harvey White, who was the Spurs selection in the Guardian's Next Generation series published last week? What sort of player is he? What established player, not necessarily at Spurs, does he most resemble as a reference point? So I've seen White a couple of times, but I saw him in the flesh for the first time a couple of weekends ago, and he was great. He was playing at the base of the midfield, and he's kind of he's very left footed. He's got a great passing range from deep, but he also reads the game really well and mops things up kind of effortlessly, which I really like about him. Kai, have you seen Harvey White at all?
I've seen him a few times, and he used to be, from what I remember, he used to be an out and out number 10. And he sort of made that transition, and he's played centre back for you guys this season, hasn't he?
That's right.
I think he's a good player, but part of me was a bit surprised that he got the pick. And that's not to take anything away from him, because I think he's good. But in terms of the first years, the J-Neil Lloyd Bennett or even Troy Parrott, I was expecting one of those two. So it's good to see that people rate White quite highly as well. And I think that he could, he genuinely does have a chance of making it with you guys, as do quite a few players in that group. I'll hopefully touch on that a bit more later in the podcast. But he can sort of play anywhere in the middle, really. He's played 10, he's played as an 8, he's played as a 6, and he's also played at centre back. And I think over time he'll be more of like a sort of an 8 type centre midfielder, sort of that balance in between defence and attack, because he's obviously very intelligent, he reads the game well. That sort of stuff.
Can I add, just from what I've seen in White, I think I mentioned this to you before, Chris, his passing is probably the best part, creative passing I've seen from the Canning player since Carroll, in terms of his actual...
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah,
totally
actual agree vision and actual ability to pick out a ball and turn defence into attack and so on and so forth. We've had like excellent central midfielders, and even Bowden, for example, was a quality central midfielder. But in terms of picking out a pass, I think he's got an excellent left foot, and his set pieces are very good too. So he's definitely a player to look out for. And I think that could have been from time as a number 10, as Kai mentioned.
And the other player that deserves a mention in our academy at the moment, aside from Parrott, who's the name, I would say is Oliver Skip, because he's getting rated by everyone. He's won the PL2 Player of the Month. There was a bit of controversy because he wasn't called up for recent England squads. And people are sort of wondering why he's not been called up, given that he's been on the Spurs bench for the Barcelona game. He's been involved with several Spurs travelling parties for the first team this year. Carl, what do you think of Skip? Where do you sort of rate him in amongst these players you've seen for Spurs along the way?
Skip is top quality. So I've obviously known about him since like the under-13s, under-14s, and he's posted Riga Cup videos online. And his ability to turn himself out of trouble, his awareness, I think he's part, but his attacking, creative passing is very underrated, because he generally gets pigeonholed into like a number 4. But he's actually excellent at breaking away with the ball and trying to turn defence into attack himself and carrying the ball. I think he's a quality player. I think he's a very, 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 very good player. I could touch on why I don't think he was selected for England now, if you want.
Please do. Yeah,
so
go for it.
I think what's affected him for England is, my understanding is they have something like about 5 central midfielders. And I think it's a case of variety and first-team opportunities. So they had Kirby and McEachran, and creative central midfielders. Then the other option is they had Harper and Gibbs White, who had quite a few opportunities for their first team. And so the only option, the last position they had left, was a defensive midfielder. So then people would expect to be Skip, but then they had Gallagher at Chelsea. He's basically like Skip, but also scores goals. And I think that's just the only thing that's affected him. So it's a case of the type of player he is, combined with a lack of first team minutes, and to someone doing the same thing as him, but maybe a bit more variety. So I think he's more than good enough to play for England, as there are so many players in that age group, but I think Skip's been very, very, very unlucky.
That puts it into some context, and it kind of explains away the reason why it hasn't been involved with England. And actually, it speaks so highly of the amount of talent available to England. I'm interested to get a few players from you, Kai, who you see as England's best prospects across the board. So not just from a Spurs perspective, but who are the kind of hot young things for England? Who do you sort of see making the breakthrough over the next 3 or 4 years?
Well, one player who I'll mention from you guys is, I've spoken to Carl a few times about him. I'm a big fan of Japhet Tanganga in the under-23s, the centre-back. I like him a lot, and he's, I think quite a few of your fans want him to have some first-team involvement. And as well as that, Angel Gomez is a player, he's part of the 2000s group. Manchester United's the only issue with him, it depends, because Mourinho's the manager right there. He's not that physically imposing, But I think technically, and he's like similar to Harvey White, he views the game excellently well. Excellently. he's brilliant. He's a joy to watch. And attacking, we've got so many prospects because we've got him, we've got Jadon Sancho, we've got Reece Nelson, Emile Smith-Rowe,
Greenwood,
Hudson-Odoi, Mason Greenwood. Yeah, another one. He's coming through right now. And there's so much. And going through like squad depth, links onto a point, back for you guys. There's a few, like the 2000s age group, there's a couple of players in your under 18s. Again, I've spoken to Carl about these two. I'll give them a mention, Radel Richards, striker, and Rayan Clark, the winger. Those sort of players, I think they're really good. And I think they're capable of playing for England. But because of the amount of talent that there's around, they're finding it hard to get a look in.
It's a great point. And I always say that players tend to get into an England group at a young age and tend to stick around, and they get called up to the next group, to the next group, to the next group, because they're known then by the coaches, because they've had good coaching, and they know all the good habits. And therefore, if you're not involved in those early age groups, it becomes harder to break in. Do you think there's something in that? Have you noticed that?
I think that's changed a lot right now from the 2000s. I'll use the 2000s group as an example. When they're under 16s, without naming names, one player who was called up is currently unattached. He was released by a Category 2 club. And there's been other players who just haven't been called up. And there's players coming in, sort of, you could say they're late developers. Example, Max Aarons from Norwich City. And who else is there? Tariq Lamptey.
Tariq Lamptey.
Big fan of him as well from Chelsea. And yeah, just it fluctuates a bit. So there'll always be a core group of players who will progress through the age groups, but the rest, it always changes.
We're going to start to wrap things up, but we've got several questions from listeners that I'd like to get your thoughts on. So we'll start off with this one from Chris Briggs, who says, back when we used to buy players, we had a history of purchasing young potential players like Kyle Walker, Danny Rose, Trippier and Dele Alli. If we were to adopt a similar approach now, who would make great youth signings for Spurs? This is an interesting question, because that kind of lists, and I wouldn't include Trippier because we bought him at 24, so I don't think he's... doesn't quite count in the same way that Walker, Rose and Dele Alli did. But that was the peak Spurs transfers, signing players young and giving them opportunity and letting them grow in value and in ability and watching them develop. I love that period of our transfer history. And even going beyond that to Huddleston, to Dawson and further back still. Carl, are there any players that you've seen sort of not getting opportunities at other clubs that you thought, yeah, I really want Spurs to go for him and give him a chance?
Definitely. But it's obviously a slightly different context. And I guess this is where it comes back to the EPPP. Because those players back in the day, like Dawson, to Huddleston, to Lennon, so on, they would have been funneled into the top clubs and you wouldn't be able to see them again. So I think the issue now, I don't think there's any youngsters out there from lower league clubs that I think we should be signing. But it appears like Hudson-Odoi, who I think we should try to pick up from Chelsea a couple of years ago before he even signed his contract. Because I know he wouldn't have got a chance at Chelsea, but I'd have hoped he might have got a chance at Spurs. But he's a player where I thought he would have been top quality and potentially attainable. If I'm looking around at other places, and I am trying to look out, the top six Premier League clubs, who are there at the moment? Kai, you might be able to.
Depends on the position.
One player that I wanted us to sign a while back was Tammy Abraham. I thought Abraham would be an ideal backup to Kane. Yeah. Obviously, he had an uninspiring season at Swansea, and now people have kind of forgotten about him, I guess. And he's almost been written off in a sense. But he was absolutely exceptional under 18 level and under 23 level. He looked an unbelievable talent who could do a bit of everything. And I still think there's a player there if they can find him in the right club. Kai, how about you? Who are the players that you think are ripe for picking?
There's a few from the Premier League. I'm personally not a huge fan of signing other players. I like to give our own a chance. But if I had to pick, like, it all depends. Like, as I mentioned, as I speak about these guys off with Carl, I like Radel Richards, I like Rayan Clark, I like Joshua Oluwayemi from your under-18s. And in general... I'm going to shout out Jadon Richardson, Nottingham Forest. He's good right back. And again, he's another 2000 born right back. Like him and Tariq Hines, they're finding it hard to get in because there's so much quality. Steven Sessegnon, Ryan's twin. I like him. Angel Gomez, if he was available, I wouldn't say no to him.
Do you know what?
Sorry.
I just thought someone, Man City got someone called Taylor Richards.
He's
a quality winger. But it's, yeah, he used to be at Fulham. And it's just an issue that they have so much talent that in their wing position that I just can't see what's going to happen to him. But he's another player where we could take him and he'd instantly be one of our best players in our under 18s, I reckon.
Fulham are brilliant.
They've got
a lot of players. Cody Drummer is a really good. Harvey Elliott, might have heard about him.
Matt O'Reilly.
Frankie Amakotu. Look out for him coming through. And Zico Astare sort of dropped down a bit, but he will be very good, I think. And the category two, there's a lot of good players. And I'm usually at games there, and I've seen some excellent players. And it's hard to say because it's always a risk, and it don't matter how good the player is, anything can happen. Like for example, if you signed Taylor Richards, he could not have the impact you wanted.
Well, just also sort of comparing to how we used to buy forward, someone like Bayliss at Coventry, I think is a quality young player who I think if given a chance at a bigger club, he would actually do very well. So he's someone like that as well, that would be in the old Huddleston, Dawson signing mold.
Yeah.
So a year ago or 18 months ago, James Maddison was in that exact position. So Maddison was at Coventry. He was snapped up by Norwich. After having that exposure at Norwich, Leicester have now seemingly got a bargain with Maddison. But Spurs looked at him when he was at Coventry and could have got him for £4 or £5 million, something like that. Same happened with Sessegnon. We didn't go in early enough, and therefore he's now probably beyond our price range. So in many ways, it's about getting him early. But at the same time, you don't want the big clubs to come and sweep up the talent that early, because then if they don't get the opportunities, they don't get a chance to develop properly.
100%. And that's the issue as well. There's no point in them coming in early and then us not having that player. But again, with the whole Maddison thing, why would we need to sign Maddison when we had Harry Winks? They're exactly the same age group, and they're both playing England now, but if Maddison came through, Winks wouldn't have come through. So the England would be stifled because they'd have maybe one or neither of them come through if Maddison came with us.
It's a very fair point. Right, well, this has been a brilliant in-depth chat about Spurs' academy and academy football in general. Well, I'm going to finish off with one more question, which I thought was quite interesting. Ahmed Aboulelanai, apologies for butchering your name. It seems like a lot of our most promising youngsters, Amos, Skip, Rolls, and Okubive, are all central midfielders. I know we have others such as Sterling and Richards up top, but are we a little top/middle heavy for the future? And if so, why is that? And this is something I've noticed over the last few years as well, that Spurs do tend to churn out a lot of good central midfielders. Do you have any theories, Carl, as to why that is?
You know what I'd point out as well? I think we churn out a lot of good central midfielders and centre-backs.
Same
when you can think of Tanganga, Ayoma, Carter Vickers,
Brooklyn Lions
Foster, we track Binks, Walcott coming through below, we churn up centre backs like nobody's business. And Jubal, the same Ocadina with central well. I don't really know why. It just must, yeah, I couldn't put my finger on what we do in particular. I think it's maybe just, no, I'll be lying if I said I had any theory behind it. But strangely, we don't produce many wingers and many strikers. So I'd be curious. I'd be interested to know why that particularly happens.
I have often wondered whether it's something to do with the kind of overall skill set that we're teaching these young players. And central midfield is often kind of mix of lots of different skill sets. And to be the complete, often central midfielders are complete players in a way. And if we're training players in such a way that we're trying to encourage them to be the complete player, then they become suited to central midfield. That's one thing I thought about and thought potentially could be a reason. But yeah, it will remain unanswered. Guys, thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you both. We'll have to get you back on at some point and discuss England's progress in the various youth age groups and Spurs is towards the end of the season, because I feel like with our under-18s this year, we're due a good season. So, Kai, thank you very much.
Well.
Tell people where can people find your stuff on the internet.
You can find me if you want to look at West Ham in general. WHUFC Youth on Twitter, whufcyouth.wordpress.com, and for my personal account, more sort of general youth football look, it's at kbarrett2316 on Twitter, BAIRETT, and kybarrettfootball.wordpress.com. Hopefully more articles out there. And as well, one last thing, shout out, I'm involved with YouthHawk. That's the best statistics resource, stuff, everything you want for youth football at club and country level in England. And thank you very much for you guys as well for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
It's been great.
It's been great talking to you. And Carl, where can people find your stuff on the internet?
I don't have a lot of stuff, but you can find me on Twitter, Carl as I see it, and I'm usually on the Spurs Community Forum as IG Spur, so annoying some people.
And I have to recommend the Spurs Community Forum, although And Carl knows this. I've been banned from that forum, so obviously I didn't toe the line. I didn't toe the line, so I'm no longer part of it. But there's also another youth thread out there on the Fighting Cock forum, and I'm trying to convince Carl to join that forum as well. Guys, thank you ever so much, and we'll see you soon.
Interesting, mate, yeah.